And 9:05 with us, Senators Dyson, Stedman, myself, Bundy. The co-chairs are traveling, and here comes Senator Olson. On our agenda today, SB 207, the Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation Membership Board. Senator Stedman, I need a motion to adopt the blank CS version I.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to put a motion forward that we adopt version I of Senate Bill 207.
I'll object just to explain the CS. The CS is a compromise that was requested by Senator Wilken. The board membership remains at 9. It also then results in a zero fiscal note. The bill will require that two members be residents of Kodiak. If no qualified member applies to Kodiak, then the two seats can be filled from applicants anywhere in the state. And I'll remove my objection. We have the CS before us, and we have the bill sponsor with us, Senator Stevens, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You look smaller that far away.
It's good to see you sitting there. Well, I think you've said all the important things, Mr. Chairman. I think it is very important that Kodiak have a couple of seats on the board. It always has in the past, and of course all of the activities of the rocket launch take place in Kodiak. You may not know of the difficulties in the past at times, closure of the roads, closure of beaches, closure of the ocean for fishermen during launch periods. There are a lot of areas that people can get upset about, and I think it's very important that that we solve these problems before they really become problems, and that there be enough access to the board so people feel comfortable on it. There was a question about legislators on the board. I served on the board for a two-year term when I was in the House, and it was a very difficult position because you are non-voting. So even though you're on the board, you can't vote, which made it of less interest to me, and chose not to be on it the following session. But basically, exactly what you talked about, Mr. Chairman. Two board members from the borough. If someone does not meet the criteria, anybody else could be appointed from around the state, and no one will be forced to resign. They'll wait until the next opening occurs, and as you say, no fiscal impact. So I appreciate the compromise that were reached, and it gives Kodiak, I think, what it wants, which is just have access to that board. It's always worked in the past, and no reason why it shouldn't continue to work in the future.
Thank you. Questions for Senator Stevens? Senator Stedman?
Just for the record, is it any members on the board from Kodiak, or is there? Explain how that's going to work.
Well, in any position, it doesn't make any. Two of the state residents appointed under this paragraph shall be residents of the borough where the launch activities of the corporation occur. Well, that's a qualified thing. But yeah, they could fill any position on the board as long as there were two of them.
Okay, thank you. We have some folks at the Kodiak LIO would like to testify. Mr. Wooten?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Norm Wooten. I'm Executive Director of the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce passed a resolution in support of the inclusion of two Kodiak residents on the AADC board. We then testified in support of the original bill. The Chamber supports Kodiak Launch Complex and believe that by having Kodiak residents on the board that we can assist in the success of the corporation. The committee substitute for SB 207 is an acceptable compromise, and we would urge a favorable vote and passage out of the Finance Committee. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wooten. Ms. Jeffries?
Yes, good morning. My name is Sue Jeffrey, and I'm on the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly. And in September of 2005, the Assembly passed a resolution urging the governor and the legislature designate two seats for Kodiak residents on the AADC board. We believe that it's important to have the two seats on the board for the reasons that Senator Stevens brought about. By having two seats from Kodiak, we are able to have a closer ear to the ground here in Kodiak to provide better access to the community to more or less abate problems before they arise. oftentimes it's lack of communication between AADC and the community rather than an actual problem. And with having more ears to the ground here in the community, better access to the board and better access to the community, we fully support having two members on the AADC board. Thank you.
Thank you. And Pat Branson?
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman, and to the members of the Finance Committee. I am president of the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce and also serve on the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly, and I fully appreciate the compromised version I that you've come up with Senate Bill 207. AADC has a huge impact on Kodiak Island residents, not only with the economy in a good fashion, but also in land use and other arenas. In the past, though, we've had Kodiak residents on the board, the communication with AADC has not always been the best, as Senator Stevens spoke about. I fully support AADC efforts and their work, but it's very important for them to be successful in working with Kodiak residents, and they are in our backyard, and their plans for more building and expansion that they have on their plate, so that we have representatives on the board who can give a clear communication piece and be a piece between the board and our residents. This is a link to getting information to Kodiak Island residents, giving the board feedback on AADC operations in the community in which they work, and it also takes the seat off the chair of the board and the CEO in having those representatives speak to the community and assist them when problems might occur in PR or AADC doing business on our island. Having this type of designation on a state board might be a little different with other boards and commissions, but due to the nature of the business being in a area that Kodiak Island residents really treasure and it's just a jewel on our island, I would support your version I in the Senate bill. With such an organization as AADC having such an impact on our community and its residents and it being in our backyard and in an area that we really treasure and use often for recreation, and in the efforts to improve the communication of AADC with our residents, I think it's imperative that at least two positions on the AADC board be designated from Kodiak. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Questions for the sponsor or anyone to testify? Senator Olson,
and
excuse me, I don't know if I acknowledged your presence earlier, but Senator Olson is with us.
Actually, you did. And this question is to the sponsor. I think one of the things that I see on this provision for the board is the increase in people that are actually from Kodiak. How often are there decisions or votes that are very close that you think that they would tip the balance toward the people from the Kodiak area?
Well, that's a very good question, through the chair. First, I should say that traditionally, historically, there have always been two members on the board. Mm-hmm. It's only recently when one of the members from Kodiak was on the board resigned that an additional person replaced, the person who replaced him was not from Kodiak. So this has been the first time in my knowledge, and maybe Pat Ladner and others could explain, maybe it's not exactly true right back to the beginning, but as far as I know, there have almost always been two members from Kodiak. So this is not really changing it. It's just going back to what we've had in the past. As for close votes, I can tell you my experience for 2 years on the board, there were never any close votes. The support of the agency, the support of what the director was doing was there all throughout my experience on the board. So I never experienced any confrontational meetings like that. I think what this does primarily is to make sure that the public has some input, they know what's going on, and that there be communication from the board back to the public. And that's the best way to avoid problems, is to make sure people are in right at the beginning and understand what's going on. So to me, that's the key thing, is making sure that that people understand what's happening at the rocket site, understand why there are closures and when there are going to be closures, and there'd be no surprises to anybody.
Mr. Chairman, you just made a comment, Senator, that you were a non-voting member and it was a frustrating experience to be under, and that's why I asked the question. It's,
Well, there were two. There are two legislators through the chair. Two legislators on the board. One senator, one representative, and I served in the representative's position for 2 years. And I did find it a frustrating position because even though if issues may not be controversial, you were still not allowed to vote. And I'm used to at least having a chance to vote, you know. So it sort of annoyed me that I couldn't vote, and so it was frustrating in that way. Not because there were controversial issues; that was not the case at all.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there anyone else like to testify in this bill? Hearing none, we'll close public testimony. Are there any amendments? Now, the will of the committee. Senator Stedman, or Senator Dyson, excuse me.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we report SB 207 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Can we attach this notes?
That'd be the CS for 207.
Yeah.
Any objection?
And the attached fiscal notes?
And the attached fiscal notes. Seeing none, 207 is on its way to Rules Committee. Thank you, Senator
Chairman.
Stevens. That brings us to SB 253, extension of the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. I don't know if you extend them by stretching them or what, but I'm Mr. Maher, and Pat Davidson's with us from LB&A. If you'd join us, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Tom Maher with the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, as Senator Gene Terrio chair. Thanks for hearing the three sunset bills today. Just a minute here. Sorry. Just real quickly, some background. Last year, statutory changes were made to the sunset process, so now we have an 8-year extension period for you folks to consider better use of staff and committee time. And as the sunset process has matured, we added two new criteria last year in statute to look at the effectiveness of the entity being audited and also look for duplication. So the three audits before you were conducted under those new criteria. Senate Bill 253 stems from recommendations contained in the Legislative Audit Report dated September 26, 2005. Page 5 of the report before you sums up the auditor's conclusion. Legislative Audit has concluded that the Board of Chiropractic Examiners is operating in the best public interest and should continue to regulate chiropractors. The board safeguards the public interest by promoting competence and integrity of those who practice in this field and continues to improve its effectiveness and ensure chiropractors are licensed in the state of Alaska. Accordingly, Senate Bill 253 extends the sunset date for the board to June 30th, 2014 for an 8-year extension. And Mr. Chairman, there were no other recommendations made to the legislature in the report. Finally, as you are aware, there is a fiscal note. However, extending the board will not incur any additional cost over amounts already contained in the FY07 governor's proposed budget. With that, Mr. Chairman, Pat and I are available if there's questions.
Questions for our presenters? Seeing none, I would just observe that the fiscal note is funded by receipt-supported services that this board, like many other, are self-supporting. Any further public testimony on Senate Bill 253? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony. And Senator Stedman, did you have a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we move Senate Bill 253, Version G, from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Without objection, we'll move 253 from committee. That brings us to Senate Bill 254, extension of the PT and OT board. Physical therapy and occupational therapy, and Mr. Maher.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 254, again, stems from recommendations made in a legislative sunset audit report. It's dated September 17th, 2005. Page 5 of the report before you sums up the auditor's conclusions. Legislative audit concluded that the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board is operating in the public's best interest and should be continued to regulate physical and occupational therapists. The board safeguards the public integrity by promoting the competence and integrity of those who practice in this field and continues to improve its effectiveness, ensure therapists are licensed in the state of Alaska. Accordingly, SB 254 extends the sunset date of the board to June 30th, 2004, which is an 8-year extension. The report made no other recommendations to the legislature. Again, there is a fiscal note with the same note that those that I made before, that those costs are indeed in the governor's 07 operating request.
Questions for Mr. Maher? Seeing none, Ms. Veal, did you care to testify? Okay, thank you. We have online in Mat-Su, Sunny Hondel.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Sunny Hondel, and I am the current president of the Alaska Physical Therapy Association, and we are in support of continuing the licensing board, if you guys see fit. Thank you.
All right, thank you for your testimony. And in Anchorage, Pat McDew. Is Anchorage with us? Apparently, we're having some communication problems. Well, we'll move on. I'll close public testimony.
Hello?
Oh, yes. Pat, are you there?
This is Pat McAdoo, and I am a physical therapist here in practice. And I want to voice my support for Senate Bill 254. I think the fiscal implications have been covered well by the analyst, but I would just like to add one fact that hasn't been discussed, and that is how very important it is in a state like Alaska, which does not have its own school of physical therapy, to have a good, strong board. And it's been my privilege to serve in the past as president of the Alaska Physical Therapy Association and to serve on the board of directors of the American Physical Therapy Association. And I can tell you that our board is one of the most respected and hardworking literally within the country. And I just would like the board, the Senate Finance Committee, to look upon it as an investment that we continue to have such a viable and strong board to protect the rights of our citizens, both here in the urban areas and especially in the rural areas. Thank you all for your hard work, and I wish you a good morning.
Thank you. Questions? You looked at me questioningly, but you don't have a question. Okay. We'll close public testimony. Any further discussion? Senator Stedman.
I'd like to make a motion that we move Senate Bill 254, Version G, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
And the chair will observe again that it is self-supporting. Any objections? Seeing none, 254 is on its way. And that brings us to 255, optometry extension of the board and licensing endorsement. Mr. Maher?
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 255, Labor and Commerce. Section 1 of this legislation extends the sunset date of the Board of Examiners and Optometry from June 30th, 2006 to June 30th, 2014. Per audit conclusions contained in the report before you on page 9, legislative audit concluded the Board of Examiners and Optometry continues to serve a public need, is operating in the public interest. The regulation and licensing of qualified optometrists is necessary to protect the public's health, safety, and welfare. Further, the Board of Examiners and Optometry has operated effectively, adopted regulatory changes, and supported legislation that improved its oversight process and promoted more effective regulation of licensed optometrists. Accordingly, Senate Bill 255 provides for an 8-year extension. With the exception of Section 4 of the bill, the balance of Senate Bill 255 incorporates the recommendation by the legislative auditor concerning licensing, which was on page 7 of the report. The auditor recommended to the legislature recommend that the legislature amend the optometry statutes to ensure they support current license endorsements for the diagnostic use of pharmaceutical agents. Currently, statutory language provides for a single endorsement for both prescribe and use. However, the Board of Examiners in Optometry is issuing two types of endorsements. The first allows a practitioner to both prescribe and use pharmaceutical agents, and the second type of endorsement allows a practitioner use only. Current law does not authorize the use only endorsement. Senate Bill 255 corrects this situation by adding a section authorizing a use only endorsement, and also in Section 7 grandfathers in the practitioners that were given that endorsement over the years since 1992. On page 18 of the report is the Department of Commerce and Community and Economic Development's response to the recommendation. They were in support of the changes that are made in this bill. Our intent with these changes is simple. Change the law to make current practices legal, grandfather license holders in, and make sure we don't leave any practitioners out, which could have an impact on the number of providers serving the public, and hopefully maximize the number of practitioners that can practice in Alaska. Finally, in Section 4, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee approved an amendment that was offered by the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development that deleted the statutory site requiring 24 hours of continuing education, allowing the board to establish through regulation the number of hours without amending statute. This amendment was requested by the board in its response to the audit. And it's my understanding that the division is trying to do that for a number of boards so they don't have to change statutes. Finally, again, there is a fiscal note, and passage of this legislation will incur no additional costs beyond those already contained in the FY7 governor's operating budget. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are there any other witnesses to testify on this bill?
I don't have any online. I was going to see if there's anyone here who would like to testify.
Mr. Chairman, if I could continue then.
Senator Olson.
I'm not sure. Are we working under /G or /F?
We are doing working /F.
/F?
Yeah.
Okay. If I could ask Mr. Maher some questions, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly.
As we look at the reference to pharmacological or pharmaceutical agents under Section 6 of /F, is this something new or is this something that's been there from the past?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, with the help of Pat Davidson, I believe we're correcting a situation that is happening out there already in terms of these using these pharmaceutical agents, and maybe Pat can.
Certainly. Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, back in the early 90s, the statute
Excuse me, Pat, just for the record, please.
For the record, Pat Davidson, representing Legislative Audit. Senator Olson, back in the early 90s, the statutes were changed to allow an optometrist to both prescribe and use pharmaceutical agents. However, the legal interpretation of that is that they had to be able to do both. And we just didn't catch it at the time during our prior audits, but as we reviewed the statutes here, what we saw was that the board was continuing to issue endorsements for those people, for those practitioners that only wanted a use only. They didn't want to both prescribe and use. And so what this amendment does is it allows those practitioners to continue just to have a use endorsement. And so we're providing a statutory solution to an existing problem.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I can continue. On this particular issue here, where you're dealing with prescription medication, have the ophthalmologists weighed in on the issue?
Through the chair, Senator Olson. Back when it was changed in the early 90s, it seemed, if I remember correctly, there was a lot of discussion about adding prescriptive authority, but that had passed. And so optometrists were allowed to prescribe and use. And so it's the use-only endorsement. When we talked to the practitioners, what we found is they're saying, well, they're all being trained now to both prescribe and use. The continuing professional education has been established to make sure that people keep up. But the fact is, you have more practitioners, you know, your professional life probably lasts 30 years, whereas it's only been like in the last 10, 15 years that the schools are teaching practitioners enough to both prescribe and use, as well as keeping up. And so we were concerned, without adding that use-only endorsement, that what you may be doing is limiting the number of practitioners that come into the state that don't feel that they are secure in their knowledge to actually both prescribe and use, and only want that use endorsement.
Okay, clear up another question, Mr. Chairman. As you look at the ability to go ahead and prescribe, that you referred to, prescribe medication, I see the drug topically applied. Are they just restricted to topical medication in that case as opposed to systemic medication? Under Section 6, subparagraph C, subparagraph 1.
Through the Chairman, Senator Olson, I am less familiar to answer that question because it's already law and it wasn't what we were changing. I'm not sure whether or not they can prescribe systemic use as pharmaceutical agents.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dyson.
The answer is yes.
That they can...
just do topical.
Oh, they can just do topical.
Yes. Okay. That's my understanding, and I got wrapped around this one a few years ago when it came up.
Okay.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, I'm been looking here at Senate, the versions G and F, and as near as I can tell, the difference between G and F is F, which we're apparently working from, has a section 4 in there about postgraduate continuing education stuff. Maybe one of you can tell me why we're working from F instead of G and what kind of was the evolution of this.
Mr. Chairman, I'll start. That was the change that was made in Senate Labor and Commerce, suggested by the department and supported by the board. Pat may have some additional background.
Through the Chair, Senator Dyson, what they wanted to do is eliminate the specific number of hours in statute and delegate the authority to the board to identify what the appropriate level of CPEs are, so that if there's changes in the profession, it can happen through regulation as opposed to coming back before the legislature and trying to change it in statute.
Okay. And the numbering is just an anomaly, which doesn't make any difference. All right. Thank you, sir. Yeah.
There was some alphabetical challenge there, but the F is the final version. Anyone else like to testify on CS or Senate Bill 255? Mr. Urien? Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Rick Urien. I'm the Director of the Division of Corporations, Occupational and Professional Licensing, and I'm here today in support of the passage of the Senate Bill number 255, and I am the one that is responsible for Section F. And I also come before you today with some additional proposed amendments, Mr. Chairman, and I regret that we didn't include those when we appeared before you in Senate Labor and Commerce, but we didn't do so for a couple reasons, which I'd like to take this opportunity to explain. You know, in the last couple years, some legislators have come to the erroneous decision that sunset bills should be just pure sunset bills and no additional amendments to the practice acts. I happen to think that's erroneous thinking, because when sunset bills are up, it's the ideal time to make changes to the practice act. And now that we've gone to extending the sunset provision to 8 years, this won't be looked at for 8 years. And to get any type of housekeeping amendment through the legislature is pretty difficult, as you know. So The board has
copies of your amendment?
Yes, sir. They've been distributed to you.
The members do have their copies. Perhaps not. I have some information here, but we'll stand at ease while we get. Did you want to do this as a series of five amendments, or can this be done in a single amendment?
In my opinion, it could be done as a single single amendment. You don't have to adopt the entire thing. And I would ask that you do that. The amendments before you did not come lightly.
Just a moment. We'll move the amendment, and then we'll go into it. We'll label this memorandum amendment number one. And Senator Dyson.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number one.
I'll object for explanation. And Mr. Urien.
This page, two pages of amendments were suggested by the board during the audit process. And actually, they were endorsed by the audit process, but not included in their recommendations. And they are not difficult. They are simply housekeeping amendments that allow them to better license people and to get people to work in a easier, gives them a little bit of discretion, whether they're licensing by credentials or they're licensing by examination. It changes the word chair from or president from the word president to chair, which is consistent with other law where the governor can appoint the chair of any board. And it eliminates in number four, the branch office. We no longer license branch offices. And they're simply housekeeping amendments, and I would ask that you adopt them.
I'll give the committee members a moment to read through them. Senator Ulster.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Mr. Urien, as we look at these amendments, I guess number two, when you're starting to deal with disciplinary action, especially in other jurisdictions, that's a pretty sweeping change there if it's not been there before. What has been the stance of the board when you are dealing with trying to discipline an optometrist?
Let me read to you what the president of the board says about that particular amendment. That's number two. Is currently there is nothing in the Practice Act authorizing the board to deny or put stipulations on new licenses by examination. So if they come before them, they have no discretion to do this. This allows them to put some stipulations if there has been some disciplinary actions in other jurisdictions.
So why have a board then if everybody was almost guaranteed to get a license?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I don't think this guarantees them. You know, board. You know how boards operate. You've served on them yourself. They're pretty restrictive, but it gives them some discretion. A person could have been disciplined for something that isn't even though against wouldn't be against the Alaska statute, or it could have been something so minor that, or it could have been years ago, and they have no discretion about that. This gives them some discretion.
I was actually thinking of times before this went into place that applications were denied.
Yeah.
The last thing, how many optometrists have been disciplined during your directorship?
I'm sorry, I do not know the answer to that question. I could get that for you, though. I don't think it's been very many, if any.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dyson.
Thank you. I appreciate Rick bringing these forward, and I think they're probably necessary. I want to make notice of at least an apparent conflict of interest. A guy that's been the chair of the optometrist board is my personal optician, and he has also been politically active in the Anchorage area, and I think I've contributed money to his campaign, I'm sure, but I don't think that this colors my judgment voting on this issue.
Appreciate you noting the remote possibility of a conflict. Other discussion about amendment number one?
Last question, Mr.
Senator Olson.
Under number four, you heard it says delete the fees. So you're saying you're deleting the fees for the examination
we're deleting fees, through the chair, Senator Olson, we're deleting the fees only for a branch office, which we no longer have a fee for. We don't.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, just for the record, there will continue to be fees for examination, re-examination, license by credential, license and renewal.
Yes. Yeah.
Further discussion. Pat, would you join us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Pat Davidson, representing Legislative Audit. I had a chance to look over the amendments, and while one of them on first blush looks like a housekeeping amendment, I'm not sure what the actual effect is going to be to practice. I just wanted to let you know what my concerns were.
Please
and
do.
That is on what's identified as number 5, deleting 0872-274. For the most part, I believe it is housekeeping, because one chapter typically will not apply to a licensee in another chapter. I am concerned, however, about the first clause in that, where it, as it exists right now, it makes Alaska Statute 0872-275 applicable to both optometrists and opticians. And what that statute is, I only brought one copy of it, I apologize. What that statute is, gives the standard specifications for eyewear, impact resistant, non-flammable, plastic coating, and so on. But in that, down when you get down to section C, it says a licensee may provide, sell, or exchange eyewear that is not allowable if authorized by a written request by the patient. So it says the licensee. If we delete 274, that said that section applied both to opticians and optometrists, it could be that section will now only apply to optometrists. I really don't know what is happening out there in practice, whether both opticians and optometrists, upon a written request from the patient, will sell eyewear that doesn't meet those state standards. And I just don't know what the effect of it is.
Mr. Urien, I think we have two choices. Either we spend some time working this out, or we amend the amendment and take out number 5. Do you have a preference?
I don't think there's a problem with it the way it is. We have a separate practice act for opticians, I don't want to hold this up. I would say just take out 5 and we can go on with it.
We have a motion to amend amendment number 1 to delete section 5.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we amend amendment number 1 and delete section 5.
Without objection, we have before us the amended amendment. Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, any objections? We've adopted amendment number 1. That brings us back to the bill as amended, CS for Senate Bill 255, Labor and Commerce, as amended. Senator Dyson.
We could have had the other option of delaying action on this till the next time the committee meets, to give you some time to look at it. But having not chosen that option, if you find out that we were better off to modify this thing and leave it in, let me know and I'll fix it or amend it on the floor or try to. Thank you,
Senator Dyson. Yes, we do have another opportunity to address this, so if you folks would get your heads together. Okay, a motion to move the CS
make a motion that we move Finance CS for Senate Bill 255, version F.
Without objection, we will have moved that from committee.
Proviso
that it can be modified later.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, folks, for being with us this morning. That will conclude our business this morning, and so we can stand adjourned at 9:45.
I guess it won't be Amendment F. It would be some other, the CS would be some other letter, wouldn't it?